Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
50 years ago this week, an obscure cultish group of young Americans crossed an horrific Rubicon. They made the journey from aimless hippiedom to mass murder. The so-called Manson family, led by ex-con Charles Manson, took part in two brutal spree killings in California. Prior to that, they'd become involved with a member of one of the most popular rock groups in America, the Beach Boys. But, asks Miles Dungan, did Beach Boy Dennis Wilson narrowly avoid becoming a victim of the Manson gang?
According to the writer Joan Didion, the 1960s may have ended 50 years ago today. Technically, she was out by 4 months and 22 days, but Didion was writing about a shocking event that banished the optimism, playfulness and naivety of that decade. Because it was half a century ago today that a promising young actor named Sharon Tate, wife of film director Roman Polanski, was murdered in Los Angeles. She wasn't the only victim. Four others were slaughtered along with her, as was her unborn son. They were the victims of a demented cult, or a devious group of psychopathic killers covering up a crime committed by one of their members. That's depending on which account you read. They were, or so the California courts were told, under the guidance and tutelage of a quasi-messianic figure named Charles Manson, a petty criminal released from prison in March 1967. A number of personal and second-hand accounts have been written about the rampage of Manson's acolytes, including the best-selling true crime novel of all time, Helter Skelter, by Vincent Bugliosi, who was one of the team that prosecuted Manson in 1970. Their accounts are contradictory, and in the case of cult members trying to impress parole boards with the level of their penitence, utterly unreliable. Ironically, Manson was not present at the Tate crime scene. Much of the murderous work was carried out by two of the memoirists, Susan Atkins and Charles Tex Watson. In addition to the five so-called Tate murders, the Manson gang went on to kill a Los Angeles couple, Leno and Rosemary LaBianca, and were also found guilty of two more killings, a body count of nine over a period of 3 weeks. And it didn't all end in 1970, when many of the members of the cult were jailed for life or handed hefty prison terms. Another member of the group, Lynette Fromm, nicknamed Squeaky, who avoided jail in 1970, made a name for herself in 1975, when she attempted to assassinate President Gerald Ford with a .45 semi-automatic pistol. 12 years later, she broke out of prison and apparently went in search of Manson, who, she had heard, had been diagnosed with testicular cancer. She was recaptured within 2 days and was released in 2009 after 34 years in jail. Manson died in prison in 2017 after being incarcerated for 48 years. But amid the horror of their crimes, one often overlooked episode in the preamble to the murders was the relationship between the so-called Manson family and the mercurial Dennis Wilson, drummer and co-founder of the Beach Boys. Wilson had picked up two female members of the family hitchhiking, brought them to his home and left for a recording session. When he returned, it was to find Manson and a number of his followers ensconced in his house. Instead of calling the police, Wilson befriended Manson, who saw himself as a budding rock star. Wilson was sufficiently impressed with Manson's songwriting abilities to record him in his brother Brian's studio. Wilson even persuaded the Beach Boys to cover one of Manson's songs, originally entitled Cease to Exist. This was changed to the more innocuous Never Learn Not to Love as a B-side. When Manson was not credited on the record, the relationship turned sour. Manson is said to have threatened to kill Dennis Wilson and was beaten up by Wilson as a result. But to allege that Wilson might have been a specific target for the murderous activities of the Manson gang is something of a stretch. It presupposes a level of organization and homicidal mentoring on the part of Manson himself that does not appear to exist outside of the myth-making of Vincent Bugliosi's best-selling Helter Skelter. While Manson and many of his acolytes were undoubtedly evil, they were not evil geniuses. Neither did they necessarily kill at the behest of Manson himself. their atrocities, far from being commanded by a charismatic guru figure, may have been copycat murders designed to convince the LA police that they had arrested another family member, Robert Beausoleil, in error for the killing of a drug dealer. Wilson certainly forked out a lot of money to the Manson family, much of this to treat the STDs of the famously promiscuous cult members. He even walked out of his own house and left Manson in situ when their relationship turned nasty. But there was no evidence that Manson had any plans to do away with Beach Boy drummer Dennis Wilson. That's fake history. Now closer.
And that, of course, was Miles Dungan.